Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. By the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Exalt his holy name. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, precious Father. Thank you for the mighty things you are doing on the face of the earth. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be a part of it. Thank you for the lives you are transforming daily. Thank you for the blessings that we enjoy daily. Thank you, Father, for your preservation. Thank you for opening our understanding to understand the things of the Spirit. And thank you for helping us by your Spirit and by your Word to make progress. We give you praise. We give you glory. Even tonight we ask that your name will be glorified, even as lives will be transformed and empowered to do great things in the kingdom. Take all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. It's a Bible study, so it's important we try to culture the atmosphere and keep things a bit calm. I was told some persons came with questions touching the subject that we discussed last week, Tuesday, the subject of marriage. I actually was preparing up until this afternoon to come deal with crisis and conflict resolution in marriage, to itemize some of the things that cause or causes the greatest marital challenges, and then see how, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to look into how to address some of them. Of course, not all. Only God can address all. But to see how we'll be able to address some. But while I was meditating at home and praying, preparing for the meeting, the Holy Ghost began to impress on my heart to continue what we started on Sunday instead, on supernatural prosperity. And so I know God is out to bless somebody. And so your questions are relevant. Keep them together. By next week, Tuesday, I will visit the subject again and we will have the opportunity to ask and answer some of the questions. Coincidentally, while we were in the prayer meeting yesterday, I began to raise some emphasis, and this became the emphasis that the Lord will impress on my heart to talk to you about, as some of the challenges or limitations that makes it impossible for God to sovereignly and supernaturally prosper and empower people. On Sunday, the Holy Spirit was teaching us here on the protocol for supernatural empowerment. And there were a few sensitive things that the Lord helped us to understand as touching the subject of supernatural prosperity. The first thing the Lord brought to our attention is the fact that there are two kingdoms at work. Let's celebrate our mother, Mrs. Nwokobe. She is the mother of one of my dear sisters in the house, Sister Ezinne Nwokobe. And she came into town and decided to pay us a visit this evening, all the way from the city of Owerri. Thank you so much, Mama. It's good to see you. It's an honor to have you. I hope Daddy is doing very well. I'm sure we'll have time to talk. Praise God. And so the Lord began to open our eyes to understand that two kingdoms are involved in empowering people and prospering people. In fact, if you study the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible made a statement that is clearly suggestive of that fact. He said that the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and it added no sorrow to it. And so any other kind of riches that add sorrow is the other blessing. That means God is not the only one that empowers. The only difference is that when God empowers, he doesn't add sorrow. So when you find people become wealthy and labor under burdens and plagues, it means another spirit is most likely involved. If you censor it carefully, you discover that at the root of it, something must have gone wrong. And I began to show us how supernatural prosperity works and how divine or supernatural prosperity in the side of light also works. And I read for us from Genesis chapter 3 from verse 17 to verse 19. How God first of all created the garden and put the man in the garden, and everything he needed was in the garden. His job was to dress and to keep it. You find that in Genesis 2:15. It says to dress the garden and to keep it. So everything he needed was already there. His duty was just to tend it. But from Genesis 3:17, when he decided to give his allegiance to another spirit, something went wrong. And so God told him that you have activated the second protocol. And the second protocol is that out of the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread. So now you have to toil night and day to be able to eat. The things you ate by free course, which was a product of the blessings of God, will no longer be so. He said, because the earth is cursed because of you now. And so you will labor, you will struggle, you will sweat to be able to eat. And I was able to quickly highlight, just as a caution, in case somebody hears me and say, thank God, I know I was supposed to lie down and things will work. That's not what the kingdom is saying. Because even in the midst of abundance, God asks the man to walk. Because walk is different from toiling. The word walk is the word ergon. And that word means become. So the reason God allows man to walk is because that corridor allows him the opportunity to learn the ways of God. So as you are walking, you will learn patience, you will learn tolerance, you will learn kindness. All the virtues of God's spirit will be communicated as you walk through the path of service to humanity and glorify God in the process. So abundance does not excuse walking. The only difference in this context is that your value is not derived from what you do. Your value is derived from the God that sent you on that errand. And that's why I told you that civil service, one of the greatest killers of vision in the modern era is civil service. What civil service is designed to do is to suffocate your potentials and the possibility of vision in your life. So they keep you toiling from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. from the age of 26 to around the age of 50. when you serve for 35 years and they see that your mental power and your physical power has been drained, they tell you to resign. And they send you home. Even the retirement benefit in Nigerian context, you don't have it. And so I told you, in case you find yourself working as a civil servant, sustain three mindsets. Number one, let it be a means to start up. Don't tie your life there. Go and find out 80% of those who retire have nothing else to offer. They were drained. And so let it be a startup. As you are doing it, be trusting God to give you wisdom. And that's why I taught you at the end, I say wealth does not come through salary. You will not find any wealthy man on earth that became wealthy through salary. Salary will keep you going, but while you are yet going, trust God for vision. Trust God for wisdom. Trust God for direction. So that the little you gather will become a start-off capital. And in case God wants you to remain there, because that's also a system now, and God has sent us into all the world. And so it's also possible that God will send you there. So you can be a teacher for 35 years. It's not a problem. If it is God that sent you there, that means you are a kingdom ambassador to that world. And so while you are yet there, the second mindset you will sustain is the fact that I am here on a mission. And so in addition to all you do, make sure you establish the government of righteousness there. Because that would have been the major reason why you went there in the first place. And then the third mindset I said you must sustain is the mindset of an entrepreneur. A visionary mindset. That the moment God gives you a vision, don't find yourself sentimentally attached. Press into God, get a clear-cut direction, build a deep conviction, and have the faith to step out. Anything outside of these three means you live on salary, you depend on salary, and salary will define your life. And if that is the case, you are visionless. And if you remain like that, when you retire, you will look back, you will discover there will be no fulfillment. The only time you will have fulfillment if you have worked in civil service is either that civil service afforded the opportunity to raise a startup capital, or because God sent you there to carry out a divine mandate, and when you look back at the end of your life, you know that you fulfilled it, or while you are yet doing it, God gave you a vision and you went and fulfilled that vision. And so this is particularly for the younger generation. For our fathers who are there, they are making their impact. I know the testimony of some that came to a place where bribery and corruption was the order of the day. And they say, as surely as the Lord liveth, they will not take bribe here again. They fought some of them until they sent them to the village. But even though they left for the village, they left a mark. They will come back and say, there used to be a man in 1991 when he was here. Nobody took bribe. That has become a memorial for God. So they've made their mark. That's why God sent them there. Praise God. And so I said, the system of the world is designed to make you toil. So that as you are toiling, you will forget God in the process. That's why the Bible revealed to us in Mark 4 verse 19. It says, when you are walking under the power and the government of the systems of the world, it says three things will happen to you. He said, the first thing that will happen to you is that you will come to a point where you will discover that Mark 4:19. You will discover that the cares of this life will choke your soul. And because the cares of this life will choke your soul, it will become difficult for you to pay attention to God. He said, the second thing that will happen, just in case you notice a ventilation, is that riches will deceive you. Remember, I told you it's not only God that makes rich, but God makes rich and added no sorrow. So if these people are not, if they don't succeed in making you toil until the cares of this life chokes you, and they decide to make you rich, he said the pleasures of life, the deceitfulness of riches, will also turn you away from God. The reason is because You will not know, but unconsciously, your trust is no longer in God. It's in your monthly salary. And so the moment that thing comes, that thing happens, your soul has become porous. And you will now discover that you will begin to find pleasure and pride. Take pride in the things of the world, no longer the things of the spirit, because your trust is no longer in God. And I said the third thing that happens is that lust will enter your soul. Diverse kinds of lust. And before you know it, you will become that man Jesus was speaking about when he said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world?" So you will find yourself toiling instead of functioning by grace. But another emphasis that the Bible made us to understand was the fact that, number one, I'm trying to do a brief recap. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, life is bigger than bread. And it also said, he also said, your body is more important than the clothes you wear. And he went further to give an illustration. He said, the birds of the air, they neither plant, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather to barn. He said, yet your heavenly Father provides for them. So what Jesus was trying to teach us is that no matter where we find ourselves, our trust should be in God. That the things we pursue is not as important as life itself. The second thing the Bible reveals to us is the fact that the curse that brought us under the operation of the government of darkness that made for toiling to become part of our lifestyle has already been broken. And so in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, he said the curse has been broken, because when Jesus was on the cross, he took the curse of the law from us. And then number three, he gave us another thing to focus on. And it's in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. So the first thing the scripture was trying to do here was to reveal to us that the things we pursue are not as important as life itself. When we come to that conclusion, then we will become sane enough to walk with God. And then the second thing it revealed to us is the fact that we are no longer under the yoke of the law. So no demon should deceive you with fear or anxiety that you will not succeed. So now that you have come to an assurance point that your life is bigger than what you eat and what you wear, and you have also come to an assurance point that there's no legal ground that will stop you from succeeding, he now gave you a formula for succeeding in life by supernatural means. He says, seek first the kingdom. If you begin to seek the kingdom, he said, every other thing that the people of the world seek, he said, for you, it will be an addition. That addition that comes is what we call supernatural prosperity. But Jesus did not want to leave us in doubt. So he gave us four protocols. And the first thing Jesus told us was the fact that it's possible when you get into the world system to have another God apart from the living God. And so he said, no man can serve two masters. So the first thing Jesus was revealing to us as a channel into supernatural wealth is this fact that the first requirement for supernatural wealth is absolute fidelity and loyalty to God. Because in Matthew 6:24, he said, no man can serve two masters. He says, either you will serve God or you will serve mammon. So the first thing that makes for God to begin to supernaturally prosper you is for you to sustain a dogged fidelity for God. When you sustain that kind of fidelity, the corruption in your office cannot overwhelm you. But if you are living for salary, you cannot survive the corruption. There are certain jobs that if you come into, the way you are promoted is by corruption. And so the first challenge that the world system will pose at you is the challenge of loyalty. Where are you standing? Because the princes, they want to be careful to know who you are for. They will ask you quickly, where are you standing? Are you on the righteous ground or are you on the dark side? And so Jesus said, the only thing that will make you attract the mighty hand of God is to quickly define your loyalty for God. You can't serve two masters. He said, you will choose God and reject mammon. If you do that, he went to number two. In Matthew, the same book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24, where he made this statement. He said, you must trust God for your provision. That means, even though you are earning 300,000, you will not rely on the salary for survival. Now, the way you will know this is in your degree of obedience. Because when God wants to check whether you trust your salary or not, he will give you an assignment that is bigger than salary. And so God will now use that opportunity to find out what you trust in. He may tell you to give your tithe. You give your tithe. He said, go and give to an orphanage. You go and give to an orphanage. He said, give a prophetic seed. You give a prophet. You will now notice that the balance is now remaining 40%. He will say, dear Heavenly Father, this thing comes once in a month. If I follow this protocol, it's 300,000 we are talking about. 240,000 is gone. What are you doing, sir? That's how God will check you. He will check your trust through obedience. But if God begins to give you instructions and your balance is not what defines whether you will keep obeying, then you have come to a point where you have made a statement to God that you trust him, not the salary. In fact, sometimes you will receive the whole salary and God will tell you to go and do something with it. I was earning 25,000 naira in the school some years back. Now, the way we run it in the secondary school is such that because before your salary comes, it has been spent. Many civil servants understand this. You actually spend it before it comes. That's how it works. Because it's a word of survival. And one of the ways we spend it before it comes is that you have to settle a bike man who will take you to school every day and bring you back. Because if you hold the money, there's no way you can hold it for 30 days. So you settle your transportation matter first. Because you can't give an excuse that you didn't come to school. And so out of 25,000, buy 15 naira to go, 15 naira to come, times 22 or 20 days. More than half of the money is gone. So that one is out of it. Now, I received the salary. And then as I was about going out, one of the staff lost somebody. And he was part of the thrift, you know. Oh, Jesus. The times of pain. In the secondary school setting, they have a thrift. In the thrift. Now, the reason they have thrift is because you don't know the calamities that can happen. So you want to have something you can rely on so that when there is sudden problem, you will have where you will run to and borrow money. So usually they save part of the money every month in the thrift. So this guy took a loan from the thrift already. So when his salary comes, out of the 25,000 they pay us, sometimes he goes home with 2,000. Now his father died and is in debt. So thrift can't give him money again. And that money, I heard it. As I was now going home, this guy is a drunk. Sometimes he comes to school around 8 o'clock. His ogogoro is smelling all over him. You wonder where he drank it or when he woke up. And I was trying to show him God. Because I was a revivalist on camp on school. That's one of my students. Those days, during break, I will be talking. Students will gather and fill the whole class. It's revival. Tuesday and Thursday, they don't go for break. And I was trying to win this, my colleague. When I now collected salary, God now said, give him the whole money. No, I can't do that. Not because I disobey you, but because I have to settle the bike man today. Even the bike man knows when they pay. I can't do that. So I closed my ears, carried my things and went home. When I went home, I had give him the whole money. I couldn't sleep again. I wanted to eat food, give him the whole money. Give him the whole money became like a ritual. When I struggled till the next day, because
when God is talking, even though you are trying to disobey, you are afraid. So I didn't touch the money. I kept it there. I said, I will not do that. Give him the whole money. Give him the whole money. It looked as if the voice was becoming heavier. So the next day, I called him. I said, how about tithe? He said, that's part of it. Take your tithe out. Give him the money. I called the brother and I gave him the money. He almost fainted. From that day, he started calling me man of God. So when he's coming to school in the morning, he stopped drinking ogogoro. Because now if I talk, his conscience won't let him. That's what saved him from drinking ogogoro that period. Because he knew we are in the same condition. He knows. Fear gripped him. So I started talking to him about God gradually. Although he didn't repent, but for a season he pretended. Repentance is a burden. It's a heavy matter. It's a heavy matter. He pretended for a season, at least until I left. I discovered later that he needed more encounters. Praise God. So, that's why I told you that when you are there, you are sent. But Jesus will test your trust in him as your provider through the instructions he gives you. Your obedience is what we tell. Not by saying, Lord, I trust you. That one is a song. Go and wask it in studio and let people sing it. When you want to tell him, I trust you, come and obey. It's called trust and obey. There's no other way. That's what the psalmist said. And so when trust is perfected, then you enter the third protocol. And the third protocol is what Jesus began to teach me after that obedience. He said, let the peace of God guard your heart. Peace. He said, be anxious for nothing. He said, by all things, through prayer and supplication, let the peace. How can I give out my whole salary and peace will guard my heart? Because for 3 days, I had to escape the Okada man waiting for intervention. You don't know how to serve God. I had to escape. I'm serving God. I'm dodging from somebody. It was on the third day that intervention came. What if he didn't come? But thank God he's faithful. But during those 3 days, I had to study how can I be at peace? Because even me talking, I have needs. Where would the peace come from? That was when I discovered Isaiah 26 verse 3. He said, we keep you in perfect peace if your heart is stayed on it. Because what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, he said, take no thought. Take no thought means when you have demonstrated your obedience in trust, don't go home and now start being anxious and start asking God questions. Lord, how are we going to eat now? How about these children? He said, take no thought. And because it's impossible to take no thought, you have to turn your affection towards God. So he said, it is when you turn your affection to him that he will keep you in perfect peace. And Paul came to corroborate that point by saying, be anxious for nothing. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, he said, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he said, the peace of God that surpasses knowledge will garrison your heart. Jesus is saying, the journey into supernatural prosperity, it begins with making God your only source. And then it goes into trusting in God for all your provisions. And then it comes to a point where you validate that position by being at peace, even in the midst of turbulence. You become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. That's what, when you are really telling God that your source is in heaven, not on earth. Now, he said when you get here, then the final protocol is that you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. So what Jesus was trying to achieve is that you become God's trust. And that's why I told you on Sunday that the same way you have UNICEF, that is a trust fund, the kind of people that God gives supernatural prosperity, they are divine trust funds. Because the kind of wealth God gives to them is more than all their needs put together. So God uses them as a channel of sponsoring divine agenda. But for God to trust them, to put his money in them, because men are the bank of God. For God to trust you enough to put that money, you will first of all show him that you are doggedly loyal to him. He's your only God. And then you will also show him that you trust him completely for your provision. And then you will also show him that you are stable under pressure. Come rain, come shine. Like Paul, you have learned how to abound and to abase because Christ is your strength. Then God will make you his trust fund. And I say, when God discovers that you are his trust fund, he will now open the channels of supernatural prosperity. And I said, the first channel of supernatural prosperity is divine direction. God will lead you to strange possibilities that nobody knew existed. Hope you read about the slave of Sarah, Hagar. She was in the wilderness about to die with her son. And when God opened her eyes, that was when she discovered there was a well. She was looking for a cup of water and she thought she would die. But God supernaturally opened her eye to see a well. And God didn't stop there. God told her, your son will not die. He said, from him, 12 princes will rise. So God can provide in the midst of crisis. Supernatural direction is what defies drought. No matter how hard things are, when a spirit whispers to your ear, you will find out that there are secret coffers where wealth is kept. And I read for you from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 5, how that Elijah the Tishbite spoke to the king and said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. For a second he forgot that him too feeds from the earth. After he gave the prophetic command, he now discovered that he too goes hungry. Because if there's no rain or dew for 3.5 years, even the prophet will die. But something was activated and God began to give him specific guidance. And he went to a place where he sat, there was water and ravens brought bread for him. And so supernatural direction is what brings you into supernatural prosperity. When a man lacks supernatural direction, it's impossible for him to touch the real wealth of this kingdom. Ask everybody who is wealthy. A spirit inspired him. If he's honest, he will tell you. Number two, I say what provokes wealth is divine favor. Divine favor is like an ointment of God that he rubs upon a man. And what divine favor does is that divine favor puts pressure on men to submit their allegiance and resources to you. When a man is favored, he commands the will of men. Even the people don't know how. In Exodus 12:36, the Bible said that the Lord gave favor to the Israelites. And he said, they spoiled the Egyptians. And God told them, go and tell your masters. Now, when you read the Bible, try to imagine it. You were a slave for close to 400 years. They were flogging and whipping you. And suddenly you stand up and you go to the same people that were oppressing you. And say, bring all the gold in your box now. And the person stands up as if he's manipulated. And he goes, brings it and gives to you. And you turn, you are going. He won't ask you, where are you taking it to? Favor will command him and compare him. And so I told you, when favor is at work in your life, the way you enter wealth is through wealth transfer. So the riches of the Gentiles is shifted to the saints in light. But for that to happen, there's a level of favor you must enter. That's why somebody will just hear you give a speech for 5 minutes. He doesn't know why he goes home, he can't sleep. He empties his account and sends the money to you. Or somebody looks at you, you walk into a place and he says, that's the man for the job. And he employs you. The moment he employs you, he violates all the protocol. And gives you what they've never given anybody. And he doesn't even know why he's doing it. Because there is favor in your life now. But for you to come to a point where you qualify for the ointment of favor, you must become a divine trust. If you are not a trust, God cannot take the risk of rubbing that pomade on your body. That fragrance, it will make you become a too selfish. You will take the whole wealth of the world and run to your village. So God will be sure that he has dealt with your soul enough to trust you that if this money comes to your hands, at least 500 widows will also start eating. At least 2,000 orphans will go to school. Because that money is too much. And then I said, number three, what makes for divine wealth? Supernatural prosperity is what I call divine multiplication. The Bible said Jesus lifted up his eyes, and as he thanked the Lord, he said, the five loaves and two fish, when he gave it to his disciples, they began to multiply. So there is a mystery that God puts in the lives of his sons, that when they touch anything, that thing grows. That's what he said in Psalm 1 verse 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law doth he meditate day and night. He is like the tree planted by the rivers that does not wither. It brings forth its fruit in its season. This is a mystery in the kingdom that causes everything you touch to multiply. Somebody may be handling that business, and the business is going down, and they sell it to you at a cheap price. The moment you take over, the business kicks up. And the same person that gave you that business will come back later to buy shares in it. But this time you are the chairman. Because there's a mystery of multiplication. Things no longer die in your hands. Things begin to multiply. It's a power that God gives to men. That's why he calls the ability to get wealth a power. He said, it is him that giveth the power to get wealth. This is one of the expressions of that power. And I said, the third thing that makes for wealth is divine wisdom. When God wants to truly make you wealthy, he gives you a wisdom that causes you to stand out. It can manifest as a talent. It can manifest as a charisma. It can manifest as an ability, either in sport or in whatever. You will now discover that while you are doing what you are enjoying, they are paying you. I remember we used to play football. I had a lot of blisters on my leg. We started playing barefooted. We now bought boots. We played football until we left football. But some of the people that play football, who are at our age, they play football until they became millionaires. We played football and fought in the pitch. We fought. We stopped playing. We now started watching. In watching, we fought. We were fighting because of people who were earning money playing. Those days, when we started watching football, we didn't even have money to pay. So, on Saturday, matches begin from 12. We will go to the studio around 10, sweep everywhere. That's our own ticket. We will sweep everywhere, clean the studio, then they will allow us to sit down. Meanwhile, if you are in that match till evening and they don't see you at home, you come home by 8 when match is finished. A koboko is waiting at home. So sometimes we will come back, we will start sneaking through the back door to go home. And next week, Saturday, we will still go. Sometimes when I escape my father, I will go and hide at the window to see whether my friend also escaped. Then sometimes you will see him straight his hand. They will be flocking. On Saturday, we will still come back and go. Meanwhile, the people who are enjoying the football are earning pounds and dollars. Because for them, it's a wisdom. That wisdom navigated them to the top. And while they are enjoying it, they are earning. Don't you see people who sing songs that they love? When they finish singing the song, you will now begin to sing the song. A friend of mine came the other time from Kano, and he was rapping. He was rapping Eminem. He will rap fast, rap fast. He will rap, 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 rap. He was enjoying himself. Eminem was collecting millions because the spirit gave him wisdom. A dark spirit. And so when God wants to give you wealth, he gives you wisdom. But for you to command this kind of wealth, you must first of all make God your only God. And then you will prove to God that you trust him for all your provisions through obedience. And then you will show that confidence by walking and sustaining peace. If you need to pray for 10 hours for your peace to come, you will pray. Because God needs to see that you are not turbulent in your heart. And then finally, you must begin to pursue God's kingdom doggedly. Everything in your life sees to it that God's kingdom advances. When God sees that, he now puts a mark on you called divine trust fund. And then divine direction begins to come. Divine favor begins to come. Divine multiplication begins to come. And divine favor begins to come. These four channels is one of the ways You can become very wealthy without toiling. It's a kingdom strategy. And so tonight, God wants me to show you the second strategy for wealth. We are looking at divine prosperity. There's a way God prospers men. And you will find things working for them as though the crisis is a lie. The way some people are living in abundance, in drought, looks as if the drought is deception. If you see them, you will say, "Ah, I thought they say things are not working in your country." They know something. If you apply this first one, after a period of time, you will discover that your life will loosen up. Things will begin to happen. I know it by experience. I'm not teaching you theories. Apart from the fact that they are exegetically correct, I've walked this corridor. So I can tell you this. Number two, what makes for divine empowerment are some spiritual infrastructures that you must surmount. And there are three of them. They are called covenants. They are called consecrations. And they are called patterns. The reason many people never make progress is not because they are not talented. Now, what I want to share with you now sustains the power to negate the first if you don't know it and apply it. In this kingdom, what men command and what men possess is a function of the covenants that power them, the consecrations they live by, and the patterns they have created on account of those covenants and those consecrations. When you see a man living effortlessly, go and check. That manifestation is a testimony validating a covenant. It's a testimony validating a consecration. Because that manifestation you see is a pattern he has created. If he doesn't create that pattern through covenants and consecration, a spirit will create a pattern for him. And as I teach you, I will explain to you. There are many patterns. There are patterns that exist in the lives of some people where the more they labor, the poorer they become. So if they don't want to be poor, they just stop. Immediately they start putting energy, poverty shows up. In fact, their lives is a bit better when they are not working. The moment you give them a job, the greatest calamity of their lives begins. It's a pattern. There are many people that, when you look at their lives, the pattern that defines it is they rise up like a star and then they die down. A cycle will pass. They will rise up, they will die down. It will happen three times, then they will vanish forever. And then you will be hearing that, this man those days was somebody. He has not died, he's still alive. But he has risen and fallen. Because that's the map, that's the graph the spirits drew for him. Make it look as if he's prospering. When he goes up, he will go down. And then there are other patterns in the lives of people that their life will be useless for 40 years, no problem. The moment one breakthrough comes, 2 weeks later, they will die. Because the graph was designed to go like this. The moment the graph wants to go up, they will be cut off. The guy was useless, 35 years, no problem. The moment he got a little ventilation, rented the house and bought a car, you hear that he's driving that car. 2 weeks later, the car somersaulted, he died. And you are wondering why. There are maps. Spirits write map for people. The one God wrote for his children, he said, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So the map of God is upward and forward only. That's God's map. But God is not the only one that has a map in the spirit. And so for you to walk with God's map, There are certain covenants and consecrations that must define your life. Else, your pattern will not reflect what God said. It will reflect what the spirits that control your existence will say. Let me explain this to you using a few scriptures. What defines the existence of people are covenants. And I will show you quickly. Before God formed Israel as a nation, the first foundation God laid were covenants. And the reason God did that is because if a covenant is not established, there will be no foundation to build upon. And so in Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 3, God gave Abraham a promise. And then in Genesis chapter 17, from verse 9 to 14 and 22 to 24, God entered a covenant with Abraham. The promise will not be ratified except as the covenant is established. And so in Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 3, it says, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house. Come to the land that I will show you. And he said, in blessings I will bless you. He said, in thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed. That's a promise he gave him. When God wanted to ratify it, there was a need for blood to be shed. And so in Genesis 17, God came back to Abraham and ratified that promise, but this time through a covenant. And the way he sealed that covenant was that he told Abraham to circumcise himself. If he circumcises himself and pulls out his foreskin, and that blood is shed, that covenant will be ratified. In fact, the covenant was first of all enacted in Genesis 15. The Bible said God caused a deep sleep to come upon Abraham. And when that happened, he said the glory of God walked in between the animal that was divided as a seal of covenant. And there, God promised him that he would deliver his people. And in Genesis 17, he ratified it and sealed it through circumcision. So the prosperity, supernatural prosperity of Israel as a people is built on the covenant God has with Abraham. And that's why every time God intervenes in their problem, God will tell them, it's because of my servant Abraham. Because that covenant commits God's faithfulness. And so a man who will walk under the empowerment of God must walk by a covenant. But you see, that covenant kept being modified as Israel was evolving over time. Because Israel is a stiff-necked people. And so in the time of Moses, it was modified. In the time of David, it was modified. And they couldn't keep it. Now, because they couldn't keep it, certain clauses were introduced into the covenant. And they are scattered in scriptures. I don't want to take too much time, but I show you a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29 to 32. Because the way this covenant works is that is communicated through blood and lineage. And so if you are connected to this person by blood, that covenant will be binding on you. That's how this covenant operates. If you are connected to me by blood and a curse comes upon me, that curse will work on me for four generations. And so if you are born as my child, you don't need to do anything. The curse will work on you because this covenant travels in the bloodline. But you see, God saw that this covenant was not profitable. So he wanted to bring a new covenant. Now, I will tell you why I'm explaining this. Because spirits take advantage of this covenant that God has to enslave people. Because a spiritual truth in the spirit realm is truth, whether in light or in darkness. And this is what the Bible said. It said, in those days, they shall say no more that the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on the edge. And he went further. He said, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. And every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on the edge. Now, what was God saying? What God was saying was that this covenant he enacted with Abraham travels through the bloodline. And so an innocent generation can come under the yoke of a curse and a yoke of poverty, even though they know nothing about what happened with the generations before. And so the new covenant God wants to cut with them is such that every man will define his own prosperity. Because if my father, for example, enters a demonic covenant and he, you know, those days, I don't know where most of you came from, but in my village, somebody can go and meet a deity and enter a covenant with that deity and say, I give you the price he will pay is that he will give the souls of his children to the third generation. And he will say, no one will prosper up until the third generation. And so they will gather the wealth and the star of all of those children up until the third generation and give to this one man as a scepter. And the man will become wealthy for his lifetime. But if he dies, then what will happen is that to the third generation, if you like, do 4 PhD. Nothing will happen with your life. If you like, go and study in Harvard. As you study in Harvard, if you don't die, you will keep that certificate until the next time you check, rat will eat it. If you like, go to the biggest city in the world. You will trek until your shoe will eat to one side. You start trekking like this because the shoe would have is a burden. The reason is because the first order of the covenant works through blood. And so your father can mortgage your destiny. And so God saw that there was no justice in this equation. And so God opened a possibility of a covenant. If it was with God alone, he's plenteous in redemption. He could show mercy. But he has seen that demons too have taken advantage. Because fatherhood is authority. And so most of the people that are working under this covenant have decided to turn to darkness. And so they are using this same principle in the spirit to enslave their generation. And so God said, every man will define his own fate. What your father did will no longer be able to impact on your possibility. But the way out of this covenant is another covenant. Because a covenant has to answer to a covenant. And so if you go further in that scripture, it said, I will start up a new covenant. It said, I will, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. God wants to begin a new covenant. This kind of covenant now, the power is no longer in the bloodline. You can decide to enter this new covenant and you will be dissociated from what existed in your own bloodline and start a new order with yourself. And so your lineage, people can be poor, people can be dying. If you enter this new covenant, you are disconnected. And so no spirit can draw any legality in the spirit to affect you anymore. They can no longer come and say, because your father killed 5 virgins, you can't go nowhere. You will say you are a new creature. All things are passed away because a new covenant has come. So this is the covenant God wanted to enact. But you see, the new covenant has a protocol. And the protocol of that new covenant is so robust that you must do it and you must understand it in order to effect it. It cannot be perpetuated except as you do it and understand it. Because the new covenant is in Christ. And what Christ did in order to activate the new covenant, in fact, if you read Hebrews chapter 8, from verse 6 to verse 13, you will see the interesting thing the Bible says about this. It said, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, I shared with you one of the promises already. What your father did can no longer define your outcome. And then he went further to say, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second covenant. That means the first covenant could not help the children of God. And God is out to bless his children. And so there was a need for him to create a covenant that afforded his children better possibilities. Go further. He said, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So he was reiterating what the prophet said. Now, when this covenant was effected, it has to also be effected with blood. Because the first covenant was activated by blood. The second covenant will also be activated by blood. In fact, if you go further in this scripture, it said, a covenant is not set in motion except by the death of the testator. And so when the blood of Jesus was shed, a new paradigm was opened. And so the first way to enter a prosperity that demons cannot manipulate is to redefine your covenant. If you have not come into Christ, the things that happen to your village people will happen to you, no matter what you do. Because the legality is in the blood. And so when the spirit go back to receive the record, hope you know that in the spirit, blood is a record keeper. It's in the natural that you call blood a fluid. In the spirit, a blood is a record keeper and a blood speaks. The Bible said the blood of Abel speaketh, the blood of Christ speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So demons have their way of going back to the records of the blood that spoke the day the covenant was enacted. And they can bring back the promises your grandfathers made when they received the word of that spirit. And whether you know it or whether you like it or not, so long as that covenant is the only covenant your reality is standing on, which you cannot deny because the blood of your father is flowing in you. So long as that covenant is still active and there is no covenant to counter it, no matter how you struggle, unless the spirit have not come on your matter, the day they show up, they will invoke the position of that covenant and they will manipulate your life. And the way they will do it is that they will set up a pattern. And so you will find yourself succeed, rise and fall, rise and fall. Or you will find people being cut off and you will start wondering what happened. The covenant is still speaking because the covenant is in the bloodline. And so the way Jesus came to delete the handwriting of the ordinances that was against you was for his own blood to be shed. And so in Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, he said, having spoilt principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He said, for the handwriting of ordinance that was against you was nailed to the cross. And so everybody who comes into Christ, every other thing that the blood of your ancestors or the agreement or the arrangement of your ancestors was involved in, the Bible said they were deleted. They no longer exist. The problem with believers is that most times they are not aware that a superior covenant has come, and in Christ Jesus, there is no other legal ground for them to be in captivity. If they knew this, they will rise up in the spirit and make war. Let me show you how God works. Because even though God is sovereign, God is under his own laws. He didn't just come and say it's over. After Jesus died and his blood cleansed you and deleted every record that was against you, God didn't just say, okay, welcome. They had to terminate the old creation. Because if the old creation is not terminated, the devil will still make demand. And so what happened at the cross is called substitution. The moment you accept Jesus, at the cross of Calvary, it's no longer Christ alone that is on that cross. God also sees you on that cross. When Jesus died, it's no longer Jesus alone that died. When Jesus was buried, it was not only Jesus that was buried. So at the cross and at the burial, the old man that was connected to your bloodline terminated. And so anybody who is in Christ Jesus, as far as God is concerned, the blood of Jesus did not just delete the record. That old man does not exist. And so if you come to God and say, this is Michael Oroku, that in his bloodline, they killed virgin, God will say, the one you are talking about is dead. That is now the record in the spirit. And even demons understand it, and they have no choice but to obey it. Because the record of heaven is superior to every record. That's why I said, this is the record that you have eternal life. If the record comes from heaven, it surpasses every other record. And so what God did was that on the cross, he killed you. At the burial, he buried you. Now, the person that rose with Christ on the third day is not the same man that went to the cross. That's why Paul said, whoever is in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is a new creature. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And God didn't stop there. The Bible said in Romans 5:1 that God freely justified us by that act of faith that we carried out. And so there is already a verdict in the court of heaven that you are not just declared innocent, that you are also declared justified and acquitted. That means there's no record against you in the realm of God anymore as touching the foundation of prosperity. Now, because of this, the kind of prosperity you qualify for is now in the order of the Christ. That's why he said in Romans 8:17 that we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, a man who is a joint heir with Christ has everything he is ever looking for, because he has entered the potential for true wealth, immeasurable wealth, and unimaginable wealth, because the covenants have been altered. But you see, after you deal with the covenant by accepting Christ, then you now come to the consecration. Because when you look at the life of Abraham, Abraham's walk with God was not only based on covenant. Abraham's walk with God was also based on consecration. Covenants deal with the spirit. Consecration deals with the soul. And so in covenant, the whole transaction that took place happened in the spirit. And so when you want to validate the transaction of the spirit in your soul, then you have to come into consecration. If you read Genesis 26 verse 5, God was now speaking to the sons of Abraham. The reason why he blessed Abraham was not just because of the covenant. It was also because of the consecrations. If you have only covenant and you don't have a consecration, the spirit will come and create a pattern from your lack of consecration to God. Because consecration in the spirit is an act of worship and it's also an act of allegiance. And so in Genesis 26 verse 5, here was God talking to Isaac. Quickly, Genesis 26 verse 5. He said, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. He was telling Isaac from verse 24, I am going to bless you because of Abraham, because he kept my commandment, he kept my statutes, he kept my laws. That means beyond the covenant I had with Abraham, which is circumcision, there is also a consecration that Abraham kept. The consecration is the lock over the soul so that another spirit cannot permeate. Because a spirit may not have a legal stand to come into your life because now you are in Christ Jesus. But if your soul is open and you commit yourself to the character of that spirit, it means you are worshiping that spirit. And because you are worshiping that spirit, you have voluntarily made yourself a servant of that spirit. And so the spirit can manipulate your life because you are one of his worshipers. That's why I teach most of the times that worship is not a song. Worship is actually a lifestyle. A lifestyle that reveals the character of a spirit. And so the man that we know divine prosperity is a man that refuses to give himself or submit himself to a lifestyle that reveals the nature of a spirit or glorifies a spirit. I read a few scriptures to you so you get what I'm trying to say. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, Paul was speaking to the church. These are people now living in the new covenant. But this was what Paul told them. He said, neither give place to the devil. You are in the new covenant now, but you can choose voluntarily to give place to the devil. And if you give place to the devil, even though the foundational legality has been removed, you have created a legality for that spirit to have a say in your life. Because when the spirits come, the way they ride into your soul is by suggesting to you the things that is consistent with their character. And the moment you begin to do it, in the realm of God, you have submitted your worship to them. And so, in Romans 6:16, the Bible said, whomever you yield yourself servant to obey, it said, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. Now, why is this dangerous? God can choose to give you a divine direction for you to enter into abundance. But because you have become a slave of a spirit, the spirit will become aware of what you are doing. And because the spirit now has right to manipulate your soul, he can thwart that thing which God gave you. And he can corrupt whatever it is God wanted you to do. And you will discover that even though the picture has been painted before you, the energy to bring it to pass will not be there. Because it's possible to be pregnant and not have the power to bring forth. God can give you favor, but you have not come under the government of the Spirit of God. You are still under the government of another spirit, and you are exuding the character of that spirit. And that your character, which is not godly, can corrupt the favor of God on your life. That's why you find some people, God gives them a talent and begins to lift them, but they are still working with a high-minded spirit. And so in the midst of that talent, their pride becomes too louder than the measure of favor they are enjoying. And because their pride becomes too loud, the pride will corrupt the favor. And so even though the favor is there, the pride will make the favor of non-effect. And so people look at him and say, yes, he's gifted, but. That but now corrupt the possibility of that favor. And so favor is there, but the impact of favor will not be seen. Because another spirit is streaming through his soul. And the way these spirits work is so organized and concerted that when they open you up to their possibility, they will insist on it until you are roped forever. If you study Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to verse 13, Paul was speaking. And he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, take up the whole armor of God, wherewith you'll be able to stand. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to believers who are in the new covenant. But there is another kind of war that is taking place. It's called the soulish war. Because in the soul, you can open a gate. And the spirit can enter your destiny through your soul and begin to manipulate your destiny. That's why spiritual covenants are different from spiritual patterns. A spiritual covenant is a legality a demonic spirit has because it has authority over your existence. But after you give yourself to Christ, a spirit can still insist to win a part of you based on the allowance you create in your soul. And when these spirits come, look at what they do. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, but against principalities. The word principalities, if you check it out, you are going to see that this thing is an organized system. It said against principality. The word principalities is the word arche. It means that which comes first. That means when the devil is coming to enslave you and to alter your possibilities, there is a rank and a file that they obey. And so the job of the principality is to create a place in your soul for the devil. Hope you remember Jesus' teaching in Matthew 12:43. He said, if an evil spirit is cast out of a man, he said, he goes about in dry places. If he doesn't find where to stay, he comes with seven more wicked demons. So what principalities do is that they send demons. Some demons will come and parade lust before you. They are trying to open your soul. Because they know that if your soul is not open, the covenant will forbid them. And so what they need now is to use the power of your will in order to enter your destiny and to corrupt you. And so what the principalities do is that they are the marketers of the spiritual. they would have checked your bloodline and say, okay, this guy is under another covenant. But when we checked his father, he loved fair women. And so by every chance, this one too will love fair women. And so two of you are walking on the street. They parade one naked fair lady. And then you are saying, yes, that contract that you are talking about, what were you saying? Were you saying that they come? Ah! We know now. They will now mobilize 30 demons. And as you wake up in the morning, you are coming out, you will see one jogging. And she's running like this. They are getting you. They are trying to open a door. Because if they don't open the door, they can't come. The covenant has sealed the gate. But you see, they need an access in order to ravage your destiny. And so the principalities will come with demons. The last time they checked, when you went somewhere and somebody greeted you and bent down, you were so happy. They said, this guy loves praise. Ah, demons will now come. And they'll begin to market things. Let me show you what happens in the spirit when gates open. In Isaiah 56 verse 9. Look at what. See, you have to become a watcher over your soul. Because after you come into Christ, the battle becomes the battle of the gates. And that gate is your soul. In Isaiah 56 verse 9. A gate of a city was opened because the watchmen were asleep. And then look at what the principalities do. The principality, they are marketers. They are the criers of the spirit realm. They say, all ye beasts of the field, come to devour. The gate finally has opened. We waited since he gave his heart to Christ. It took 7 years for the gate to open. Now that the gate is open, he said, all the beasts, come and devour. And he said, all ye beasts of the forest, come and devour. Why? In verse 10, he said, the watchmen are asleep. The guy has left the gate porous. He came into Christ before basking in the covering of the Father until he forgot that his soul was his weakest point. And so he didn't man the gate over his soul. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. It says, out of the heart are the issues of life. That means your prosperity is tied to the degree that you can secure your soul. It says, his watchmen are blind. These are the six sicknesses of a watcher. Every watcher has a potential of suffering from six kinds of infirmities. And the first infirmity of a watcher is spiritual blindness. So a point comes, he no longer understands priorities. He's still praying, but he has forgotten the priority. That the priority is the purity of the soul. And so his prayer is to energize his soul to remain pure. Because he forgets the priority, he becomes a blind man. He said the second is that they are ignorant. They are not aware. That's why Paul said, you should not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Maybe I should tell you my story. After I gave my heart to Christ, many years, I served every principle I knew. I applied. Nothing was working. I was applying principles. I was working hard. At least one must happen. But there was a covering cast over the family. Nobody could break it. There were three major patterns in my family. The first pattern is death. In the month of March, somebody will die. After 2 years, another March comes, somebody will die. And in 5 years, six people died. That was when I discovered there was a pattern. Meanwhile, my sisters are beautiful. I can tell you that one for free. Elegant ladies, all of them enter 30. Nobody came. So the pattern was either barrenness, lack of settlement, or death. And then the third pattern is chronic lack and poverty. Chronic one. And there's no scripture you quote that breaks it. There's no fasting that breaks it. And then I was wondering, what is going on? And so, there was a year I decided to go on 21 days fast every month. And so from January, I do 21 days fast. 6 days, I will rest. Enter February, I start 21 days fast. Something must happen. And so the sixth month, while I was fasting, I was walking in my room praying. I kept pacing the floor, and suddenly, I had messengers. Some guardians from the demonic realm showed up. Because somebody was beginning to trouble the balance of the ecosystem. And so they came. And I looked round. I was walking. I was not lying down. If I was lying down, I would have said it was a dream. I was walking. And I turned. And I saw two creatures standing. One of them was like in the similitude of a man. But a man that was exhumed from the grave. So I could look through the skin. Termites had eaten it up. I could see the bones. And then the other one stood with many horns. About 10 horns. And while I was yet contemplating, what is the meaning of this? The wall of my room vanished. And I discovered, even though my house was in Makurdi, suddenly my house appeared in Otukwa. Ah! That was when I discovered the physical location is a mirage. The real location is in the spirit. I ran to Makurdi, rented a house. I was living there. But the ground in the spirit was still the ancient ground of Otukwa. While I stood and was looking, the voice of the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, these are the rulers over your bloodline. And the gate they have into the souls of men is fourfold. He said, number one is lying. Because there is a grace. You talk, you can manage situation quickly. No matter what happens, under pressure, you coordinate things with words. He said, that same power on the tongue, there's a corruption on it, lying. So if you keep in line, if you lie, give all the seed. The greatest evangelist will teach you on how to sow. You will sow all the seed and become poor. Because these creatures will insist that wealth, power, and influence will never rest. He said, number two is pride. If you, because my people are quite poor. But they act as if they are gods. Nobody is bigger than them because they are intelligent. They are highly intelligent. Those days, my dad used to be, he never came second in the class. If you come second, my dad will look at you and say, it's a pity. In fact, even if you come first, my dad will go and start looking at the subjects and say, this is not a poor result. This is not a result. You came first. Your average is 69. That means if there was an intelligent student in that class, this is not first. I'm telling you what we went through. Because while he was studying, he studied in the veterinary line. And those days from Samaru, he came first in the whole of Middle Belt. So they show pride in their knowledge. And it flows in the bloodline. Up to today, I'm still fighting pride. Because sometimes we come like this. God will now, you are about to break your insurance system. I will now go back. So humility now is a preserver. You want to show yourself, you will now remember that this is a key. You want to open the gate and they will call the white beast. They will soon summon them. The third is drunkenness. Where I come from, they tap wine. Every compound has palm trees. And so the way they know whether you are a man is that when you are about 4 or 5 years old, they will give you a cup of palm wine. If you drink it and you don't drop the cup and you empty it, they will say, this is a man. Now a man has risen here. This is a man. And so we take pride in drinking. Somebody can sit down and drink a keg and then he will stand up and walk home. They will look at you and say, oh, Babana. That means thunder. This one is thunder. And then you will walk like a cherub from alcohol. Thunder. And then if you are offended, cry. Sorry, sir. You will now pride with. And then finally, is immorality. And the spirit will stand. If you like, call yourself a bishop. You will go nowhere. And they told me, in order to secure the heritage of God on your life, lock these gates. If you lock these gates, you will prosper. That was when I understood how these guys work. Now, if you study the book of Ephesians, after the principalities come and secure the borders of your soul, he said, the powers will come. The powers. Look at what the Bible calls the powers. I'm trying to deliver somebody. Because You have been doing giving. It shall be given unto you. You will do it for 30 years. If these things are at work, they are powers that keep men bound. These powers are strong enough to frustrate the principles you are applying. If you don't subdue these powers, and everyone sitting here, you know the powers of your bloodline. They control the souls of your family. This is why, even though you are in Christ, Christ can't prosper you. Because the spirit realm is a legalistic realm. The powers are called exousia. But this kind of exousia, amazingly, the way it was used in this scripture is called the authority over choice. And so when the principalities win you, the powers come to make that thing you called a simple habit to become an addiction. And so you will discover that you want to now stop that thing you are doing. You can't. You try, you can't. Now, a power is involved. As you opened your soul, when he entered your soul, what he was looking for is your choice. And so when he went, he hijacked your choice and locked it. And so you can no longer choose. He will choose for you. And so you find the guy. They told him, hi. He took Igbo for 1 week. After 2 weeks, he's not trying to stop. He can't. Because a power has come to lock him. Now, the reason that power tempted him with that kind of temptation is because that is what they use to regulate that family. And now the door of covenant has been locked. So they are looking for another door to enter his soul to alter his possibilities. And so when the power controls your choice, then the rulers of the darkness of this world come. The word used for rulers of darkness is cosmos kratos. And what it means is that king of the world that causes desolation, the blindness of sight. He said, the king that causes blindness of sight. You see why many people cannot see what will change them? Because these people are now manipulating your destiny. They've blinded your sight. What did the Bible say about blinding of sight? In 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The lost are those who can no longer participate in the commonwealth of Israel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 12 to verse 14, it said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world. It said, we have received of the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. But he now went to verse 14. He said, the carnal man. This is the carnal man. The man whose eyesight has been blinded in the spirit. He said, that man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God. He has the spirit, but he cannot receive the things of the spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. But this is what the rulers of the darkness of this world come to do. They blind you. And so God is giving you a direction. He said, give the money you have to the widow. The prince will come and say, no, there's no wisdom in it. There are many widows in this town. Go and invest your money. Meanwhile, that is a divine direction. Because a Kairos season opened over you. And what God is trying to do is to create a possibility for you to be launched. But the blindness is already there. So every time God gives you an instruction that should lead you to wealth, the spirit comes and counters it. And because the power has already locked your will, you will have no choice but to do what that spirit says. And so God will be trying to prosper you, but he cannot. And then finally, he spoke about the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And the word used is the word pneumaticos penora. It means the spirit of desolation. That means what the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places do is that they are masters of creating poverty and desolation. But the way this sequence can be activated in your life, it begins from you opening your soul to the character and to the nature of the spirit. You see, when God is calling a people to repentance, when God is warning people to depart from iniquity, it's not just about serving him. Your prosperity is tied to it. When you open yourself up to dark princes, then they will also have the power to manipulate the outcomes of your life. The reason most of us apply principles and it doesn't work, we sow, it doesn't work, is because there are powers that makes poor, powers that make desolate, regulating our decision-making processes. And so no matter what God attempts to do, we will counter God through our decision. And no matter how born again you are, God will not override your choice. And so what the spirits try to do is to find a way into your soul, so that by overriding your choices, no matter what God does to prosper you, he cannot do it. And this is why the second thing Christ will introduce you to, for you to prosper, is what we call consecrations. Because the job of consecration is to lock the gates of the soul. You will discover that this spirit opens different doors into your soul. Some of us is anger. Some of us is malice. Some of us is backbiting. We think we hate somebody, we go and gang up against them, backbiting. After 10 years, you will discover that your life will end in penury and desolation. Because a spirit is using a tool against your prosperity. And so when God wants to help you and bring you into supernatural supply, the second thing God will do after the covenants is that he will introduce consecrations into your life. And the first consecration that will be introduced into your life is called prayer. You cannot keep any other consecration except as you have first of all been taught the consecration of prayer. Because nothing impacts the soul like prayer. That's why he said, be anxious for nothing. He said, by all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He said, while you are yet praying, God is doing something around your soul. He said, the peace of God that surpasses knowledge will begin to garrison your heart. So while you are praying, God is building the wall over your soul. That's why he said in Jude verse 20, he said, you dearly beloved, he said, building up yourself. Building is like an edifice. Your soul has been wrecked. The walls of your souls have collapsed. Demons have found their way in. He said, but what you need to do is that Jerusalem must be built again. And he said, the way you build it is by praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, an edifice begins to rise in your soul. And so all of the gates that were porous, they begin to shut them out. Because prayer will lock the gate of poverty and prayer will open the gate of prosperity. Because when men pray, it's a gate business. That's why prayer men are called watchers. Because when you begin to do the business of prayer, you are coming to the gates. And the first thing you will do at the gate is that every porous part that the devil has taken advantage of will be shut. Did you read what Jesus said? He said, if you have an ought against your brother and you bring a sacrifice to the altar, leave it there. Because prayer does not begin except as the gates are locked. And so when a man begins to pray, God begins to work on his soul. God begins to shape his soul. That's why you will discover that sometimes God is teaching you prayer and he just puts you at the altar. It looks like he dumps you there. Because he won't begin to bless you. The gates are open. He will leave you on the altar. You are praying. He's sealing the gates. He's sealing the gates. And then you discover that as your prayer becomes consistent, after a while, your tongue that is flippant becomes guarded. Some of the things you can say casually, you can't say them anymore. You want to say them, you will now discover that your tongue is connected to your heart. Your heart is beginning to secure a new kind of alignment with your tongue. You discover that as you are praying, your eyes, God begins to censor your eyes. He starts washing your eyes with eye salve. You will not know that prosperity is in view, but they are locking the gates. And when a fortress is built around the gate, then something else will happen. The chains that kept you behind bars, they will begin to fall on their own accord. The Bible said in Acts chapter 12, that when it pleased Herod that he killed James, he saw that it pleased the people. He said he took Peter also. And he said he locked Peter behind closed doors, in between 16 gatekeepers. And suddenly, he said, prayer was made of the church for Peter. When prayer begins to happen, gates and foundations begin to shake. And he said, suddenly, the angel of the Lord descended. And he said, the chains fell off. Even Peter didn't know what was happening. He thought it was a vision. He said, gird up your loins, rise up quickly and follow me. He said, as Peter walked through the prisoners, they didn't see him. The keepers. He went to the first gate. He said he opened on his own accord. And he said he went to the gate that opens to the city, the iron gate. And he said even that gate opened. When the gate to the city opens, then welcome to the realm of wealth. Because the wealth is in the city. But what the devil will do is that when they enter, they will lock you in your own soul. And so you can't come out. That's why the Bible said, we have escaped through our window. Because a gate has opened. A gate was locked and a gate was open. But many times, when God wants to lock people's gates, they will not pay the price of consecration. And so they start praying and then distraction. The same distraction that was the inroad for the devil begins to take them out of the altar. I share humorously with you most times. Somebody begins to pray. After 30 minutes, he walks into the kitchen. He picks the pot and closes it. He comes back. He goes and opens the window. He closes it. He carries his phone. He touches. You can't achieve anything. This prayer you are praying, you are not asking God for bread. It's a reconstruction going on. And so you will learn how to tarry on the altar. Sometimes the sweat that will come out of you will be like clots of blood. Because what is happening is that a reconstruction is taking place. And as you are drilling and pressing, the war of thrones will begin to take place. You will keep at it. Did you not read about Daniel? Because this same kind of thing was what happened in Daniel. Daniel chapter 10 verse 20. He said, if I depart from you, I will go to fight the prince of Persia. And he said, when I'm done with the prince of Persia, he said, the prince of Grecia will come. Your job is to remain on the altar until the war finishes. Because when a man begins to travel, the angels of your destiny are mobilized. Because the same way the princes came and mobilized demons to destroy your life, God will now mobilize angels that should minister for your advantage. But you can't leave the altar until the angels show up. And so Daniel said, for 21 days, I ate no pleasant bread. For 21 days, the man was on the altar until the errand came from heaven. And the moment that errand comes, you will discover that the door for prosperity will open to you. You don't lack talent. You don't lack opportunities. The problem is that you can't see the opportunities. Because there is a prince blinding you. And that prince is blinding you because that immorality is still there. Because that immorality is what gives that prince authority. That lying is still there. That alcoholism is still there. If it is divine wealth you are looking for, gates need to close. And other gates need to open. And the way it happens is through consecration. When you pray for a while and God secures the gate, then God will begin to add other layers of consecration. When I began to drill on the altar, I had experiences. One day I was praying and I was on a 21 days fast. And suddenly a prince walked out of the wall and came to sit on my chest. I tried to push, I couldn't. And then I said, Jesus, save me. And when light came and dematerialized the prince, for 2 weeks I was struggling with lust. That was when I knew that these guys are actually the regulators of the souls of men. But when you break through in prayer, then God begins to secure your destiny. And God begins to give you consecrations. I have many. Some of them are for seasons and some of them are for eternity. Those consecrations become the secrets of your wealth. Because those are the things that will keep your gates perpetually locked. I shared one of them with them yesterday. When I prayed and broke through in prayer, one of the things God told me to do, he said, look for young people and impact them. And the only place I could find young people was in schools. I started teaching, first of all, mathematics and physics. I taught mathematics and physics until even in the school, the priests came. And the proprietors came and said, I should follow the people and cheat in Wayek. The same consecration God gave me to save me, a trap was set inside. I rejected. I had to leave the school. I went to another school and I kept at it. The calamity of this school is that there are senior people there. It's a government school this time, so there are deputy directors, very senior people. They will come to school by 8:30. Some will come by 9. After all, They've not paid some of them salary for 7 months. So when you come to school, somebody who comes by 8:30 will now write 7:10. How did 8:30 become 7:10? And then you will see 30 people, 7:10, 7:11, 7:12, 7:30. Meanwhile, it's almost 8:30. So when I showed up, I wanted to write time. And I came to school around 8:20. I wrote 8:20. The other teacher that stood looked at me like an alien. Because now that you have written 8:20, you have set up every other person that is coming later. I came the second day, I wrote 8:05. It became a war for a season. A point now came, when you are coming to write, they say, wait, let's write our own time. They will now write that. Because every consecration, there will be a challenge. Those gates, they will be struggling to open them up. They will be trying to open them. And they will find... Meanwhile, if you come late, sometimes they deduct money from your salary. And I was coming from new GRA. I kept writing it. Until a point came, I stepped up and mastered how to come earlier. And the gate was locked. After a while, that school where I was teaching, the revival began. During break time, I'll be talking to the students. The whole hall will be packed. And God is baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. I was still in that school teaching, earning 25,000. All of a sudden, I will be in the school. They will call me and say, they are calling from Ibadan. Come and be a blessing. I will be in that school teaching. They say, they are calling from Ilorin. Come and bless us. I was in that school teaching. Somebody invited me from South Africa. They paid for the flight. When I checked, my own ticket was 10,000 rand. It was more than 6 months' salary that I was earning. I said they would have sent this money to me so that I would preach through Zoom. A point came, I was earning 25,000 naira per month. I was still in the school. My salary moved to 300,000. The salary now doesn't come from the school alone. People will sit at home. God will tell them to give this man something. I was in the school. A point came, I became too busy. That even the principal will ask me, when will you be around? So I had to resign. And this time, when I resigned, it was liberty. Before, if you resign, the next 3 months, you will suffer. Because there will be no money. But the gates were locked. Suddenly, things began to happen on their own accord. And as the gate remained locked, the impact kept increasing. The impact kept increasing. The same thing you are doing, but the honor level changes. The honor will begin to change. The honor begins to change. And then as I am being promoted, more consecrations were given. A point now came, God told me, when you preach for an elder, don't take honorarium. Meanwhile, the elders are the ones that can give you according to your current season. Now, you don't understand. That's a parable. You know, when you enter your current season, you have to measure it from the upper boundary. You were doing something before, you were receiving 50,000. You'll do the same thing, now you receive 500,000. It means a new season has opened. They are now seeing you differently. Now, the people that were relating with me based on my current season, God now told me not to take from them. And so I will come. I'm careful not to call anybody father. So in order not to rope myself, I started calling everybody elder, honoring them. When I want to preach, the person will now come up and say they've done this thing for 30 years. Some will say they've done it for 40 years. Why are you telling me the years that you have done this thing? Now that I've heard the years, it becomes a burden. Sometimes I will preach. These people will take me to their office to pray for them. But I know it's a sin. Because without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. I will now kneel down sorrowfully. They will pray for me. Now that they have prayed for me, I will not take the honorarium again. And so what God was teaching me was that, He said, I am trying to give you their many years of stability. Some of them have been righteous for 30 years. Some of them have remained relevant for 30 years. Where you come from, people are cut off. Where you come from, people rise and fall. And so God will start giving you different consecrations for different seasons and for different purposes. All of that is part of God bringing you into abundance. There are some of you here, you need a wisdom to start a company. But in your lineage, nobody has ever started a company. And so when God wants to help you, after you have broken through in prayer, God may send you to go and honor somebody. And as you honor that person, it will become the basis by which you will meet the person that will help you start the company. That's when you will come back into wisdom for wealth creation. There are powers that pull men down. And the powers that pull men down, you cannot deny their existence. That's why you have so many Christians, but very few are making impact. The reason is because those powers are there. And the authority those powers have over your soul are the consecrations that they bring you into. Because lying is a consecration. Immorality is a consecration. Hatred is a consecration. Backbiting is a consecration. And when God wants to change your fortune, He will block those gates and open new gates. And the way God opens new gates is that He gives you new consecration. It begins with prayer so that you will ascend to hear from Zion. And when you now ascend to Zion, then God will start giving you secrets that nobody knows. Find out people making impact, they have secrets. Strange secrets that doesn't look like it's connected to wealth. But so long as they keep those things and those ordinances, God will keep pouring things in their direction. And so the second way to step into divine prosperity is by satisfying the demand of covenant. Is by satisfying the demand of consecration. And is by satisfying the demand of patterns. Patterns are actually products of covenants and consecration. When your covenant and your consecration is satisfied, you will now begin to regulate your patterns. Suddenly, the debt will cease. Suddenly, the poverty will cease. Favor will now begin to come from Zion. And you are asking yourself, why is this thing happening now? It's happening now because you have closed one gate and you have opened another gate. There are many people that terrible gates are open over their soul. And because those gates are open, the princes in darkness will continually manipulate their lives. If you don't satisfy this, the first one will not profit you. Because this one has the power to corrupt the first one. And if you are walking with the Lord, and you come to that point where consecration demand begins to go higher, know that God is about to usher you into prosperity. Because those things you call consecrations are also alarm systems in the spirit that a season is beginning to call you. Those things may not matter to you, but when your season is near, consecrations, demands for consecrations begin to rise again. If you are a wise man in the spirit, you will know that that thing is a season calling you. A season is calling you because those things will be the things that will fortify your soul to be able to receive that which God is about to usher you into. Every one of us sitting here, and I mean everyone, can be prosperous. Prosperity is not for a few. The reason only few prosper is because only few attain the demand of prosperity. The Bible said, ask of God rain in the time of the latter rain. And he said, they will cause bright clouds to appear. And he said, there will be rain for every blade of grass. Every one of us here can prosper. And I mean everyone. Both the educated and uneducated. Both the male and the female. Both the young and the old. And when you read through scripture, you are going to find out that God prospered every kind of being. In fact, when the prophet Samuel was speaking and spoke to Hannah, and Hannah went to celebrate, Eli, I beg your pardon, there was something she said. He said, the Lord kill it. He said, the Lord make it alive. He said, he causes the beggar, he lifted the beggar from the dunghill to stand among princes and to inherit thrones. That means God has enough power to make a beggar suddenly become equal with rulers. That power is with God. But there are protocols. And the protocol for supernatural wealth are the consecration requirement that God puts on your soul. This is not God trying to be hard on you. This is God trying to lock soulish gates that demonic entities take advantage of to frustrate your life. If you know this, you will be able to resist temptation even to the point of blood. Because one moment of pleasure can translate to 10 years of backwardness. You may not be aware. Because when these spirits come to you, they come in your Kairos season. The spirit knows that you have sown a lot of seed and your cloud is full of rain. The rain is about to fall. And that rain can fall as divine direction. That rain can fall as divine favor. And so what the spirit does is that it comes again with intensity of temptation. And then you find people weeping. Hey, I don't know what happened. It has happened again. God will forgive you. But what will happen is that you have reset your possibility. You will have to wait for another 5 years for an opportunity to come your way. Because these things are in cycles. And too many people lose their cycles. That's why their lives is an embodiment of frustration. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Because the reason God asked me to teach you this is, most of you are already qualified for prosperity. You have the right certificate. You have the right gifting. You have the right talent. And you have been applying principles. They say, give, it shall be given unto you. You have been giving. They say, serve, you have been serving. Everything they taught about wealth creation, about prosperity, you've done it. But your life has not gone anywhere. Could it be because of that anger? That every time God wants to visit you, you fall into a rage. And in that 3 days of rage, you miss your word. Could it be because of that immorality? That every time your word is about to come, you fall. And that 1 week that you are in the state of slumber, before you repent and come back to pace, your word has passed. The Bible said, until the time that his word came. There is a time that the word for men come. The problem is that when we don't fortify our existence through consecration, when our word is about to come, the devil will tap that button again. And that period where you fall into the pit and rise, your word has passed. And you will not know why it looks as if God is biased. God is not biased. God does not favor some and hate others. He favors everyone equally. When you find a man making impact, it's because he has maximized the possibilities of the spirit that are allocated to him. Believers must learn this so that we will know that sin is not just about pleasure. Sin is a manipulation of demonic princes to eat your years, to eat your seasons, to eat everything that God has prepared for you. But I speak to somebody here tonight that the years that the canker worm has eaten, the years that the palmer worm has eaten, the years that the caterpillar worms have eaten, they are restored to you now in the name of Jesus. Some of you, your life has been eaten up. When the devil is fighting you, take time and ask God what he's looking for. Because warfare is deeper than it appears. And that's why anytime you find yourself in a warfare, don't be quick to fight back. Go and guard your heart. The major warfare is in your heart. Because if you allow this place to open, you may win the physical battle, but you may lose the one here, and it will cost you many years. Some of us, the devil has eaten deep into our lives. But the Lord is speaking to you today because there is a possibility of restoration that he wants to activate. And so the word that brings your restoration, it comes to you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I told you the help of God is threefold. The first dimension of the help of God is intervention. Intervention is God's strategy of stopping the assault of the devil on your life. Restoration, on the other hand, is God trying to redeem the things the devil has stolen from you. And preservation is God keeping you where he has brought you to. I don't know which of these you need. And I don't know if you need the three of them. But I speak by all means. Receive the help of God tonight. Yes, sir.
If it's intervention you require, receive it now. If it is restoration you need, receive it now. If it is preservation you need, receive it now. In the name of Jesus.
Some of you, what God is showing you now are the patterns, the bloodline patterns. Probably you've never paid attention to it. Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob loved fair women. Abraham deceived Abimelech. Isaac deceived Abimelech. And Jacob became a chief deceiver. Some of you, while I'm speaking, you left a message a long time ago, and for the first time, you began to study the patterns of your bloodline. The patterns. You discover that your family, they are arrogant. They are vicious. They are self-centered. They are immoral. Whichever pattern it is that the devil has used to rob your family, I speak over you prophetically tonight. Receive the power to live above them. Receive the grace to live above them. Receive the authority to subdue them. In the name of Jesus. You will not remain like this. There are heavy potentials that men carry. The Bible said, I saw an abomination under the sun. He said, beggars are riding on horses while princes are trekking on barefoot. Everyone redeemed is redeemed a priest and a prince. He said, he has washed you and made you a king and a priest. And so if you are trekking, it's an abomination in the spirit. And so I speak over your life. Every abominable circumstance in your life, they turn for your favor. I command a turnaround in your life. In the name of Jesus. How can a first class student be trekking around the city looking for what to eat? How can a man with 20 years experience suddenly become stranded in life? How can a whole family, not one qualifies to get married or to get married properly? And how can you have a family of four? All of them are widows and widowers. There is a pattern. And so I speak over your life this evening. Every demonic pattern that has reduced the quality of your life, every demonic pattern that has altered the possibility of your family, every demonic pattern that has truncated the essence of God in your lineage, in the name of Jesus, I command them to go down now. I put an end to the patterns now. In the name of Jesus. There are some of you, it is the day that you should be promoted that they place an embargo. It will be going on well until you arrive, and suddenly it must stop with you. Even when you try to outsmart the pattern and you struggle to go a bit further, they will still stop it before you start. You decide to go back, they will stop it before it gets to you. Because the program that was written for you is that never enter. Labor until you arrive there before the gate is shut. I alter every demonic program. I change every demonic program written for you and your family in the name of Jesus. And we rewrite your destiny tonight. Let your path become the path of the just. Let it shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. In the name of Jesus. I speak concerning your life. Everywhere death was written, it is replaced with life. Everywhere poverty was written, it's replaced with prosperity. Everywhere frustration is written, it's replaced with joy.
in the name of Jesus.
You enter certain families. This one is a talented artist. This one is a talented producer. This one is a talented footballer. It's as if it's a congregation of talents. Yet, not one head is lifted. Because there are horns that have scattered Jerusalem and Judah. But I come to you tonight as the carpenter. And every horn that has scattered potentials, every horn that has wasted destinies, in the name of Jesus, we cut them off tonight. We cut them off tonight. Step into your prosperity now. He said, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. He said, there shall be holiness. And the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, receive your prosperity now. Receive your prosperity now. There are certain other people that the devil raises men to pull them down. It's not even spirits fighting them. It's men the devil raised. The Bible said to subvert a man in his course. It said, the Lord approveth not. Every man the devil has risen to frustrate you and you have nothing against. I speak right now, such wicked men are cut off. If they don't repent in 7 days, they are cut off from the face of the earth. In the name of Jesus, every strong man in your life goes down now. And every altar speaking against your destiny, we silence their voices now. In the name of Jesus, go forward and prosper. They have written a law concerning some people that before they experience the slightest breakthrough, they must be 40 years. In some family, they must be 50 years. And they are not permitted to enjoy it for more than 3 years. So the moment it looks as if it's becoming good, they die. Everything written concerning you to bring death in your prime. Everything written concerning you to cut you off in your prime. We reprogram that program. We recalibrate that program. In the name of Jesus. You will not just enjoy God's season over your life for a season. You will enjoy it until you leave this world. And you will hand it over to your children. Because he said, a man that served the Lord, he said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. He said, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. I decree over your life, you don't just prosper, but your generations are blessed. And finally, there are some of you, you don't even know what it looks like to believe anymore. Because your faith, severally, the devil has bashed. And so now, even when God is moving, it doesn't occur to you that you are one of them. The Bible said, when the Lord shall turn again the captivity of Zion, he said, we shall be like them that dream dreams. Then will our mouth be filled with laughter. In the name of Jesus, the kind of promotion, the kind of prosperity that makes it look like a dream and fills the mouth of men with laughter, receive it now. Receive it now. Listen, do you know this kind of prosperity? It's a prosperity that yourself know you don't qualify for. That's why it's like a dream. And so I move you to a realm of prosperity that you don't qualify for. I move you to the realm of influence that you don't qualify for. I move you to a realm of abundance that you don't qualify for. By the grace of God, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. There are many people, a yoke is tied on their shoulders. They labor and go up, and at the end of the day, the moment they go up, they labor, they waste all their energy going up, they can't stay. And that yoke pulls them down. Every weight the devil has tied on you, that has negated and mitigated against your rising, every
every stone, every yoke, every weight that is pulling you down from rising, in the name of Jesus, I cut it off your shoulders. I cut it off your shoulders. Like the eagle soar. Like the eagle soar. Like the eagle soar. Like the eagle soar. The wind that bring others down, ride on that wind now. The wind that frustrate other birds, ride on that wind. The things that pull others down, they become the reason why you rise. The forces that frustrate others become the forces that makes you shine. In the name of Jesus. Don't you know that there's a mystery in the spirit? What frustrates other people can become the reason for your rising. The flood that killed the people of the world was the flood that held the ark of Noah. The flood that ended the earth was the same flood that held the ark of Noah. I decree concerning your life, that thing that is causing men to fall, let it become the reason why you rise. That obstacle that is stopping men from going forward, let it become the reason why you fly. In the name of Jesus, let your wings come to you. Let your wings come to you. Where men are walking, run. Where men are running, fly. Where men are running, fly. Where men are running, fly. Receive your wing in the spirit. Receive your wings in the spirit. Receive your wings in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. Do you know why people compete? Men have not entered their element. See, when you enter your element, it doesn't matter how many people are doing it. There will be a mark of distinction. That mark of distinction will set you apart, even if the whole world were doing the same thing. So now I speak concerning your life. Receive the mark of distinction. Receive the mark of distinction. Receive the mark of distinction. Where men are outstanding, become the standard. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and appreciate God. Lift your hands and appreciate God. It's a season of supernatural prosperity. And so I decree over your life, receive supernatural prosperity. Thank you, Father. Something, there are some men that have refused to leave wickedness. On account of them, many have been destroyed, and they live off wickedness. People were being cut off from my family. We were asking God for mercy. A wicked man kept killing people at different seasons. When the day of emancipation came, they died. Listen, Israel will never leave Egypt until some warriors are drowned. Until some soldiers are drowned. The Red Sea will open for some to go, and the Red Sea will have to drown the wicked. Every strong man that is standing against your destiny, that will not repent, will come against him by the testimony of the judgment of God. In the next 7 days, let there be judgment from heaven. Let there be judgment in heaven. Hear this. Hear this. Some of them have killed 7 people. They are not yet satisfied. Some have killed 10. Some have killed 20. No other person will die on account of a wicked man. It says, he that diggeth a grave shall fall inside. If any that cutteth the wood shall be endangered thereby. In the name of Jesus, everyone setting traps for destinies, they are cut off in the name of Jesus. Yeah, there are some men, if God wants to show them mercy, they will repent so that they will not go to hell. But so long as they live, their heart is full of wickedness. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. And so for another graduate not to be cut off, for another virgin not to be cut off, for another pregnant woman not to be butchered, there is judgment from Zion. And so every strong man perpetuating and living off wickedness that refuses to repent, we release judgment over them now. They are cut off in the name of Jesus. Ah, oh, ah, yeah.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.